Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. This week, numerical order in the court. Sabina brings the case against her husband, Cameron. Sabina says she can count to 1 million if she tried, but Cameron doesn't think she could do it. Who's right, who's wrong, only one can decide. Please rise. Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and presents an obscure cultural reference.
It's kind of funny. You know, this whole time I felt like I've been in a power position. Now, that sounds kind of crazy, but I've always known kind of what to say or what to do. But at that moment, I just kind of lost all control. And then, you know, I said the number. And then it was like a big bubble just kind of popping on me. At one time, I just said it and went with it. You know, it's a weird emotion. Bailiff Jesse Thorne, please swear them in.
Sabina, Cameron, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
Yeah.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that he's already counted to all the numbers he wanted to?
Yes.
Yes.
Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
39, my eternal age. That's correct. That's where I stopped counting. Just like Jack Benny, which shows that I'm much older than 39. Sabina, Cameron, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment on one of your favors. Can either of you name the piece of culture that I referenced as I entered this fake internet courtroom? Cameron, you guess first, please.
The only thing I can think of that was a sudden expression of a number was maybe the first book in the Discworld series?
First book in the Discworld series. The first in 1 million volumes, correct, in the Discworld
yes,
series?
Approximately 1 million books in that.
I've never read a Discworld, so it would be weird if that were the answer, but I'm putting it down anyway. First disc, that's what I'm putting in it. Jesse Thorne, if you don't know, that's a very, very famous fantasy series with a million volumes about fantasy froth. Discworld.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Frolf.
Right, Frolf. All right, Sabina, your turn to guess.
Frolf, for folks who don't know, is something they do over there at the Hahamagna State Park where I'm walking around with my five-year-old and they throw frisbees at us.
Yeah, but in fantasy Frolf, it's played by Frelfs.
Got it.
Told you. I told you I'm older than 39. Sabina, what is your guess, if I may ask?
I'm going to guess... Some contestant on, like, The Price is Right.
Some contestant on The Price is Right. That is not correct. So I'm just going to put in Cool Hand Luke for you, if you don't mind.
Perfect.
Cool Hand Luke. And I'm writing that down. And oh, my gosh, all guesses are wrong. Even Cool Hand Luke. Sorry, Sabina. Do you know why I suggested Cool Hand Luke?
I do not.
That's a Paul Newman movie. And he plays a prisoner in a southern prison. And at one point, the prisoners all bet. He claims that he can eat 50 eggs in an hour, 50 hard-boiled eggs in an hour. It's a big scene. And all the prisoners says, no one's ever done it. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's been so long since I've seen that movie. I don't know if he did it or not. I don't think he did it. It was gross. But then my wife, who is a whole human being in her own right, having heard of this movie, Cool Hand Luke, boldly stated to me and a large group of friends many years ago, well, yeah, I could eat 50 eggs. You've met the person I'm talking about, right, Jesse Thorne?
Yeah, I've met that person.
It's nothing against her. No one can eat 50 eggs. But the sheer optimism, because her argument was, I could eat 50 eggs because it's easy. We'd eat one and then two and then three and then four. A sense that there is no cumulative effect.
She has a strong will.
She has a strong will and she knows how to count to 50. And when finally she began to accept, well, maybe not 50 eggs, she said, well, I could definitely eat 50 heads of iceberg lettuce. Can't do that either, I suspect. Don't try it, please. So that was why I suggested that guess for you, but that is not correct. And obviously Discworld is not correct. The correct answer is that I was quoting one Jeremy Harper of Birmingham, Alabama. Jeremy Harper, in the year 2007, set the Guinness World Record holder for highest number counted to out loud when he counted to 1 million. He stood in his Birmingham, Alabama apartment and turned on his webcam, which is all we had back then, and he counted for approximately 16 hours a day for 89 days.
Well, now I feel embarrassed because I'm familiar with Mr. Harper's work, having looked him up for this exact argument.
For this exact argument. I mean, it's proof it can be done. And specifically, if you were to have guessed Jeremy Harper, I would have had to play a little bit of hardball, to use a sports metaphor, and say, okay, but what interview is this from? And you probably would not have guessed that this is from a November 22nd, 2007 interview of Jeremy Harper on the late and departed NPR show, The Bryant Park Project, between Mr. Harper and Allison Stewart and our friend Luke Burbank. But during that interview, Jeremy Harper also said, "The cameras were on me the whole time. I think that's what really kept me sane. If I had been locked in my apartment and counted to a million and no one was watching, I would certainly have lost my mind." So I'm not sure that this is evidence for or against your claim, this Jeremy Harper person, but let's hear your case. What do you want to do? You want to count to 1 million?
I don't necessarily want to count to 1 million. I would like Cameron to acknowledge that I could count to 1 million.
How did this start? I see here you both live in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
We do. Yes, we live and, here yeah. together with
you
our... Met,
oh, go ahead. You with what?
Your companions? Oh, with our dog and cat. All
right. I presume you sent in a photo of the dog and cat?
We have.
And this is a very, this is Chloe the dog and Marzipan the cat, which we put on our Instagram page, at Judge John Hodgman on Instagram, as well as our show page at MaximumFun.org. And they are adorable. Marzipan the cat has put all of his feet and tails directly onto Chloe's chin. And Chloe is very tolerant of it. Okay, you live in Ann Arbor together. It says here you met at Zingerman's Deli.
We did.
You may have packaged up a mail order product that I ordered from there once or another.
We very well may have.
I went to Zingerman's Deli the last time I was in Ann Arbor, and it was very good. And then you got together. Are you wedded?
We are wedded.
You are wedded. Wedded cohabitants?
I think we're coming up on our second anniversary officially in August.
Oh, all right. The second of, I trust, a million.
Exactly.
And how did it come up that you started thinking that you could, or maybe secretly wanted to, but definitely could, count to 1 million, Sabina?
I think we were just hanging out, and I think I started the conversation as, I wonder how high you could humanly count. At which point, I looked up how high, what's the record for, you know, highest counted out loud.
Right, the recorded Guinness record in any case.
Yes, and I found, Jeremy Harper and his 1 million record. Mm-hmm. And upon reading that, I think I said out loud, I could count to a million, much like your wife with the eggs.
Yeah, just count one and then two, then three, then four, and just keep going until you reach
exactly.
a million.
Exactly. It seemed very doable to me. You know, it's not that I think it would be easy. I just think that it is doable. And Cameron was very, as I recall, vehemently against this in a way that surprised me, because I thought he would kind of agree that a million is very doable.
Well, I'm going to let Cameron speak for himself in a moment. But, you know, since everyone has their own point of view, please do your best imitation of Cameron after he heard you say, I could easily count to a million, or I could count to a million. What did he say in your memory? And please do his voice.
Okay. All right. Okay. What are you talking about? You couldn't count to a million, Sabina. You have all these, you know, problems focusing on things, and you think that you can spend, you know, days at a time counting, you know, for hours every day counting to a million. You couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it.
That was a great performance. I felt a lot pouring off of that, a lot of emotion and energy. Cameron, how would you rate that performance? A+?
Yeah. Like so many things Sabina does, it was just incredible.
Would you say that it is an accurate representation of your reaction to her?
Close. I don't think I was quite as pointed, but I think the phrase that I used was, you absolutely could not do that.
I will now say, Sabina, as much as I appreciated your interpretation of Cameron, you didn't quite catch his laconic evasiveness.
I think that's new. I don't think that was there originally.
Cameron, why don't you think Sabina can count to 1 million?
I think it's an incredibly challenging task. You know, big props to
Jeremy Harper. Say his name.
Jeremy Harper. Jeremy Harper.
Wow. Okay.
National hero. Jeremy Harper. I mean, the task is so much broader than counting to a million. I'm confident that Sabina knows all of the numbers. I can say that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So stipulated.
That's the most damnably faintest praise I've ever heard.
You're confident she's not, you know, one of my kids at age 4 claiming that he has as many cookies as he has, as he could has. He has 15 cookies.
Oh, I'm glad that you agree that your wife is numerate. But that wasn't the critique that Sabina brought up in her impersonation of you. The critique was that you said she's too easily distracted or something. What speak to that for a moment, please.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot that I think goes into counting to a million. Mostly just sheer time and effort. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think Sabina severely underestimates just how much effort would be involved in the task.
But in Sabina's imitation of you, we may read back in the record, mm-hmm. Sabina imitated you saying, what was it, Sabina? Basically, you get too easily distracted. Wasn't that what you said, Sabina? Something like that?
Yeah, easily distracted, you know, unable to commit long-term to many things. I think, you know, I do have ADHD. I'm, you know, diagnosed.
Right.
And so that is maybe a part of, you know, Cameron's evidence for these things. I would not say that he's wrong.
Cameron, is this representation true that you said or feel that Sabina is too easily distracted to commit to the project of saying all 1 through 1 million numbers?
I think it was one of my supporting arguments at the time.
Right. Supporting of you.
Supporting of me.
Negging, yes. Of her.
Yes.
I understand. How does it make you feel, Sabina, when Cameron so thoroughly did not believe in your capabilities?
Well, like I said, I was surprised because I kind of had expected him to just, you know, quietly agree with me. But it definitely, it felt bad because Cam usually is kind of like my hype man. He'll usually tell me that I can, in fact, do anything. Mm-hmm. And so this felt like a real sting that he was telling me that I could not do this thing that I had, you know, I do believe would be possible for me to do. It felt like, you know, some kind of challenge or judgment on me as a person.
What are some of the things that Cameron has helped you feel capable of doing?
All kinds of stuff. I mean, I just got a new job and he was super great, hyping me up to negotiate for salary. Did he
teach you what numbers were so that you could do that?
Exactly. He helped me count all the way to the number that I was hoping to get. He also, you know, I have struggled with self-esteem issues and he's always, you know, my number one fan. And, you know, in trying to address some of those issues, sometimes I'll be like, wow, I look really great today. And he'll always agree and say something like, yeah, you look amazing. You're the best, you know, just really, really positive, supportive stuff.
So this immediate reaction that no, you could not do what you proposed to do is an outlier for Cameron. He's normally a supportive non-monster of a spouse.
I would say so. I mean, we definitely get into, you know, kind of hypothetical arguments regularly.
Like what?
There's a couple. Usually I'm kind of the instigator of them. So I, in the past, we have argued about if numbers are real.
Wow. What's happening in Ann Arbor? this is the Ann Arbor I remember.
Not a lot, apparently.
I'll tell you what numbers are real in Ann Arbor, it seems like to me. 420.
Got him.
No comment, right? Sounds like that to me in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I don't think real numbers that number was involved with the number discussion.
Uh-huh. Are numbers real? And you're not talking about the mathematical term real numbers as opposed to imaginary numbers.
No.
Right.
I'm talking
about... Just
whether
they're even there, man.
They're, you know.
What was the argument? What side did you take? Numbers are not real?
I took the side of numbers are not real. And, you know, to me, it was more of an exercise. It wasn't necessarily that I was taking a hardline stance.
Right. What is the argument exactly? That they're just a human construct?
Yeah, like, you know, it's a measurement, but measurements aren't real either. They're just, you know, what we use in our own heads to, you know, break things apart.
Well, we count in base 10 probably because we've got 10 fingers.
Right.
Right. And if we had evolved differently and we had 12 fingers, we would probably count in base 12.
Right.
Right. I see your point. And Cameron, you took the other side of this argument?
Yeah.
And go ahead and say your side.
I think numbers are real. It's going to be controversial, but I think...
I don't think so.
I think numbers are...
I think that's really the normie position. Do you know what I mean? That's really the normie position, that numbers are real. I feel like that's the position... That's not an Ann Arbor position. Do you know what I mean? That's like... Jesse Thorne, what's the most boring town in America?
Don't put me. Don't make me.
No. What? All right. Then. All right. I'll put it back on them. Sabina, what is the most boring town in Michigan?
Ooh. Well, I'll get a lot of flack for this.
The most normie town in Michigan.
I'm from a town just south of Ann Arbor called Saline. And it's got to be in the running.
Saline, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Numbers are real is a real Saline, Michigan way of thinking, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right down the middle. This is what the institutions told us. We were taught it in school. It's got to be real.
I'll tell you, Judge Hodgman, that I occasionally visit Bakersfield, California.
Yeah.
Where there's a great ice cream place.
Right.
And I ran into some people from Bakersfield who were excited because they knew that I am sometimes in Bakersfield. And I said to them, okay, so I've been to that great ice cream place. What else is cool in Bakersfield? Like, what else should I check out? And they said, it was great talking with you about Bakersfield.
numbers are real in Bakersfield as well. So Cameron, what's your argument for why numbers are real? Obviously they're a construct of consciousness.
Sure. I guess my argument for why numbers are real is that, you know, somewhere in the fabric of the universe, things are divisible, things are countable.
All right. You now know? We're getting back to some of that Ann Arbor stuff.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Somewhere in the galaxy. That's just an atom on my fingernail. Stuff is just divisible, you know?
If things exist, then they can be counted, and that's numbers? I don't know.
They can be, but they don't. Lots of things go uncounted by lots of creatures on Earth. I'm just saying. I'm with Sabina on this one. Numbers are not real. Especially imaginary numbers. The square root of -1. Love that one. Love that one. Anyway, any other hypotheticals?
Well, Cam might be able to tell the other major one.
All right, Cam.
Better.
This one's for you to win. I'm going to judge all these hypotheticals.
Well, if I didn't sound like a monster earlier,
You don't sound like a monster.
Sabina couldn't count to 1 million.
We're going to get to the bottom of that. That's an that's clearly established as an aberration in your relationship. You're obviously in love. You're obviously supportive of each other. You have a great time together in Ann Arbor. I'm not calling you a monster. We're going to deal with that outlier in a minute. Go ahead and just state your hypothetical.
So my hypothetical.
My hypothesis is you're going to win this one. I think I'm going to judge in your favor. Yeah, that's my hypothesis.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, let's put it to the test.
My big hypothetical is an argument that spawned at Zingerman's during quiet nights of waiting for phones to ring.
Yeah. The perfect conditions for philosophy.
Is that anyone, me, but anyone, could probably take a dog in a fight, one-on-one.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm really great.
I'd just stop right there.
Well, then it's settled.
The thing about me you don't understand is I'm really great.
But this argument has lots of folks on both sides, both for and against my side. But Sabina is very firmly on the side of dogs in the dog combat hypothetical.
Let's just say fight till surrender, shall we? To keep this less than right.
Yeah.
You could fight off a dog.
Yeah.
That was attacking you, or the dog could fight you off if you were attacking it.
Yes.
And is this a universal or just for Cameron the Great?
I think it's a universal. I think most adults could probably win that fight.
And what about the dog? Is there a particular style of dog that we're talking about here?
This is what comes up every time.
Yeah, obviously.
You would hope. Yeah, you would assume.
Just
so.
As there are. There are great Camerons, as there are some mediocre Camerons. There are large Camerons and small Camerons. There are different kinds of dogs with different temperaments and different tooth sizes.
This is like a salmon saying he could beat a bird in a fight.
Salmon versus bird. The ultimate natural contest.
I think my argument is that, yeah, most every dog could be beat by most every adult person.
I think I talked him up to a German Shepherd at one point.
If it's a trained German Shepherd, I don't care how great Cameron is, you're going down. You're going to be screaming and running as quickly as possible.
I mean, agreed. I'm not going to have a great time. But I think I can walk away from that one.
Well, you proved my hypothesis wrong. No. You could beat most dogs in combat to surrender. Mm-hmm. I mean, now we're talking about math again, right? Because we need to know what percentage of dogs are little scruffy fellers versus the percentage of dogs that are large, meaty, toothy, and trained. Shoot, you know what? Sabina, I hate to say this because I love dogs and I don't even like thinking about this situation. It's creepy and weird. But that's what comes up late at night at Zingerman's. That's where the mind goes. Could I survive most dogs? And the truth is, just based on the percentage of dogs that are both large enough and trained by mean people to be mean, I think that's not most dogs. I think most dogs just want to lick you and be happy, which is why are you fighting them anyway, Cameron? Weird. And a lot of them are very small and don't deserve to get into these fights. No dogs do. Okay, I got a rule in Cameron's favor on that one. Numbers are not real, and leave dogs alone. those are my rulings.
Let's take a quick recess and hear about this week's Judge John Hodgman sponsor. We'll be back in just a moment on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Made In.
Oh, when you're trying to buy cookware, it's like there's so many questions, so many choices, so many pros and cons. But you should know, Made In has only pros. Pros like Tom Colicchio, Nancy Silverton, Brooke Williamson. That's right, I changed the meaning of pro from good things to professionals who use Made In, because they do. Professional chefs love Made In cookware because it's got so many pros.
Can I tell you something about Nancy Silverton, one of the Made In pros?
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
My friend used to work for Nancy Silverton, or one of her restaurants. And not only did she adore Nancy Silverton, but Nancy Silverton personally catered her wedding.
That's a real pro move, if you ask me.
Yeah, just like getting Made In cookware. These are people with taste, if you get my double meaning.
I do.
This isn't a Johnny-come-lately company. This evolved from a 100-year-old kitchen supply business. And they work with multi-generational crafters to put together every single piece. So includes carbon steel, stainless clad, plateware, glassware. I know, John, you love all that stuff that you have in your cabinet.
Yeah, I got the glassware. I got the plateware. And I definitely love that carbon steel. And I've got, and I love their stainless steel. It's got exactly what demanding chefs and I dare say demanding judges look for when they're buying cookware.
And you don't have to find a kitchen supply store. They sell it online. It's delivered straight to your door with the quality that the pros use.
And can I just say, it's at a fraction of the price of other top brands. That's for real. This is really good stuff and it's really affordable. And yet, as affordable as it is, I'm going to tell you this. Judge John Hodgman listeners get 10% off full-priced items from Made In. For full details, visit madeincookware.com/JJHO10. That's madeincookware.com/JJHO10.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Squarespace.
Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, to engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your own terms. You know, a person that I live with and care about a lot, who's a whole human being in her own right, was recently thinking about starting a little service company in the next couple of years. And she was like, I got to make a website. How do I do that? And I literally was just like, one word that's made out of two words, Squarespace.
Oh, yeah. I get it. Those are the folks that are sponsoring our show this week. And
yeah, but that was a recommendation. They didn't give me money to recommend that to my wife, who's a whole human being in her own right. That's because I know that this company is good.
She knows that she can start any business she wants to, and Squarespace will be there for her, whether her business is reading people's manuscripts and editing them, or using karate to whoop their enemies' tails.
Or both.
How do you
know my wife so well?
Serially or simultaneously?
You can start a completely personalized website with this new guided design system that they call Squarespace Blueprint, choosing from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device.
Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Hodgman to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/Hodgman.
And then go to karatechopmanuscripts.org.
Pizza.
Now let's get back to this thing about counting to a million. Cameron, it has been established, stipulated by Sabina, that you are a supportive spouse, and it seems to me that you are. Why do you think you reacted so quickly and so definitively to her claim that she could count to 1 million? And Sabina, how did you feel when he reacted that quickly? Cameron, you go first. Why? Why did this bother you? Why did this get under your skin?
I think I just felt it was like a real understatement of the task.
Mm-hmm.
Of, what it would actually take to count to 1 million.
Were you concerned that she was actually going to undertake it?
More and more. more and more. And I think a big part of that is Sabina's nature to
prove you wrong.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Be a little bit of a contrarian.
Exactly. To beat you in combat like a dog.
To beat me in combat.
How long ago did this happen again?
This argument?
Yeah, count to a million. The one we're talking about right now, why we're here. When did that happen?
Like a month ago.
Oh, okay. So it's not been building for years.
No, but it's been a pretty consistent conversation in our lives since it first got brought up.
Sabina, how did you feel when Cameron reacted so immediately and so definitively saying that you could not do it?
Yeah, it felt kind of, it felt hurtful that it did seem like he was critiquing my judgment and saying that I hadn't truly thought about what it would take. You know, it felt kind of flippant, or that he thought I was being flippant, maybe.
Those of us in the late-night Zingerman schools of philosophical ponderings have long considered the human and psychic toll that it would take to count to 1 million. Oh, my dear summer child, you've never even thought of what you're going to need to do to hydrate during this many, many days of counting. That kind of vibe?
And embarrassingly, hydration is an issue for me.
Oh, in life.
In life, yes.
Do you tend to forget to hydrate? I'm going to have a drink of water now.
Exactly.
You want to take a little break, get a little water, Sabina?
I'm okay right now.
Do you have something there? Do you have water?
I have an energy drink.
That's fine. Take a sip.
All right, I'll take a sip.
Cameron, do you have like a goblet of steaming dog's blood there? That you've
I have a glass of water.
From? Okay.
Yeah. Which is close.
Everybody hydrate. Everyone hydrate. Okay, so Sabina, do you have difficulty hydrating, keeping hydrated?
I do. It's easy. I feel like it's very easy to forget to drink water.
It is.
It is. Yeah. Unlike, I don't think that relates to the counting because, you know, you don't forget that you're in the middle of counting.
Let me ask you this question. Was Cameron right? Did you underestimate the time and effort it was going to take when you first made the claim? This isn't to say that you don't know the time and effort it will take now that you've done some research into the exploits of Jeremy Harper of Birmingham, Alabama. Now you know. But at the time, did you know that it would take 16 hours a day for 89 days? Like, would you have imagined that? I wouldn't have.
I think there was a small period of time in between what I first imagined, which was maybe an underestimate.
What was your first estimate? I'll tell you what mine is. I didn't write it down, but I was like, I don't know, 4 days? I was very under. What was your estimate?
I think it would have been around maybe like 4 to 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what a million feels like to me. But I guess we're just innumerate fools compared to Cameron.
There's also, I do think, I don't know how fast Jeremy Harper was counting, but there's definitely a part of me that feels like if I could just count a little faster, I could get it done. You know, I could cut that time down.
Hang on a second. I'm going to time you. Do faster than Jeremy Harper.
Oh, no, I haven't practiced this.
Like, and also, Jeremy Harper on day one is very different than Jeremy Harper on day 88.
That's fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only because of the accumulated exhaustion, and I think mental exhaustion, but also the numbers are longer. So I'm going to time, just as a baseline, right? We're going to do right in the middle. I want you to count, and I'm going to give you a cue, and I'm going to time you. I want you to count from 550,000 to 570,000. That's 20 units. You ready?
I'll do my best.
550,000, 550,001, 550,000. Oh, no, that's, sorry. I'm asking you to count 20,000 numbers. That's on me. I apologize.
Okay. I was going to try.
Here I am bragging about all this math I know. Count 20 real number intervals up from 500,000. So 500,001, 500,002, 500,003. And you know what? I'm going to make it a little harder on you. 550,001, 550,002, okay? Take a moment. Do you want to have another drink of energy drink?
Sure.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to say ready, set, go, and you start on go. Ready, set, go.
550,001, 550,002, 550,003, 550,004, 550,005, 550,006, 550,007, 550,008, 550,009, 550,010, 550,011, 550,012, 550,013, 550,014, 550,015, 550,016, 550,017, 550,018, 550,019, 550,020.
Stop.
Hold on. I'm getting a call. I'm getting a call. It's the MacArthur Foundation.
Oh. Hello?
One of your famous genius grants? Oh, you call them MacArthur grants and don't use the word genius. Yeah, for John Hodgman for thinking of the idea of having Sabina count a bunch on our show. Well, fair enough. John, they want to give you an award for your contributions to American culture for having Sabina do a long series of number counts.
Well, honestly, I thought they were calling for Sabina. So I'm going to
No, they said that lots of people, mostly preschoolers, do that. But you were the first one to put it on a podcast.
Look, all I was trying to do is give
They
Cameron-
said it was an incredible innovation in preventing people from enjoying podcasts.
All I was trying to do was give Cameron a preview of his life for the next 89 days. 16 hours a day. First of all, Sabina, let me ask you, how did you feel about that 20 count? How'd you feel at the end of it? Exhilarated? Ready to keep going for another 15 hours and 59 minutes and 30 seconds? Excuse me, 29 seconds?
I didn't feel bad about it. I felt pretty good about that, interval.
It was a great run.
But I do think that, I would tire quickly trying to go at that pace.
It was a great run. You had a great run.
Thank you.
Good news. You counted those 20 numbers in 30 seconds, right? Now, according to my calculations, done entirely off mic and very slowly and ponderously, if Jeremy Harper counted to a million in 89 days, 16 hours a day, that is 1,424 hours counting total. At 20 numbers in 30 seconds, that's 1.5 million seconds overall, which is only 417 hours. So you got him beat at that pace. He must have slowed down, or I got some numbers wrong somewhere. Don't write me letters. But we're just going to go ahead and say 417 hours. And how many hours a day do you want to work at counting?
We'll say 8.
417 hours. That's good. That's a union work day. Mm-hmm. Divided by 8-hour increments equals 52 days. You think you can keep that pace up for 52 days? Are you up to it?
You know, I've also thought about writing a program that would flash the number, in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And I think that would help me keep the pace.
Yeah, no, I bet that would make the experience a lot better.
Yeah.
If you were sitting in a room and a computer was flashing numbers at you. And you couldn't miss one, not even for a second in an 8-hour shift. Or you would fall behind. And of course, you couldn't hydrate in any of those 8 hours because you're counting too fast. I don't know what to say. I don't want to stamp in your dreams like Cameron has done.
I would like to say I'm not trying to necessarily beat the record. I just want to get to a million.
Do you really want to do this or do you want Cameron to acknowledge that it's possible?
I mean, I definitely want Cameron to acknowledge that it's possible, first and foremost. But the more I talk about it, the more I do kind of want to do it.
Why is this one, of all the hypotheticals that we discussed and the ones that we haven't discussed, the big deal for you? Big enough to bring onto a podcast, for example.
I think it just feels very doable to me. It's not, there's no limiting factors, really. Like, even if I took 1 hour every day to count out loud, I could eventually get to a million doing that. I think...
Do you know what? I agree with you. Cameron, you have to agree with that, right?
Yeah.
You still seem like you don't believe it, though.
I don't know anyone who wants to spend an hour a day counting.
You do know someone. She's here, that's, Sabina.
That's
All right. If I were to rule in your favor, Sabina, what would you have me rule?
I would like you to rule against Cameron telling me that I cannot do this.
All right. So a gag order, is, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cameron, what would you have me rule if I were to rule in your favor?
I'm comfortable with Sabina claiming that she can count to a million. I just would like to be allowed to say that I don't think that that is possible.
Then you're not comfortable with it.
No, I would just like to be able to argue my case. I would like this argument, like all hypothetical arguments, to live forever unanswerable.
Okay, I think I've heard everything I need to in order to make my decision. I'm going to go into my Donald Duxian mathematical land that lives inside my mind and ponder this further. It's kind of the Zingerman's midnight deli of my mind, and I'll be back in a moment with my verdict.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Cameron, how do you feel about your chances here?
I think I feel okay. I think putting into perspective the enormity of the task has helped my side quite a bit.
How do you feel, Sabina?
I do not feel fantastic about my chances. I think that from the judge's reference on, it seems that maybe he has already experienced a situation like this with his own wife. I would not accuse him of bias, but I don't feel my chances are good.
How many eggs do you think you could eat?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
Five eggs?
Definitely over five, maybe under 50, but somewhere in between those two.
We'll see what Judge Hodgman has to say about the eggs and everything else when we come back in just a moment on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
It's Webby season. Hi, I'm Sequoia Holmes, host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast, and we are nominated for a Webby for the episode where I interviewed Hayley Williams. In case you're unfamiliar, Black People Love Paramore is a podcast delving into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel more seen. We would love your vote to help us win this Webby. Please take a second, go over to the Black People Love Paramore podcast social media accounts, and you can find them at BPLP Pod across all social media platforms. Hit the link in bio and vote for Black People Love Paramore.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Judge John Hodgman podcast, and we want to remind you that we are headed to New York City, Lincoln Center, on June 29th. 2022. This is going to be an extraordinary program. Our friend Jean Gray is going to be there. It is outdoors and free of charge.
Free of charge.
You can make reservations for it. I encourage you to do so.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay. Not a penny.
Just go to bit.ly/JJHoLincoln. That's JJHoLincoln, all capital letters. Or use your search engine and just search Judge John Hodgman Lincoln Center. We'll be outside under the stars. And Jesse Thorne, look, weather is changeable, especially these days. But I'm looking on the long-term almanac here. You know what I'm seeing predicted for the 29th of June?
What's that?
Stars. Beautiful starlight. Not a cloud in the sky. It says here, the most perfect night of all nights.
Wow. That's extraordinary.
I know.
So June 29th at Lincoln Center in New York City, not only can you see the Judge John Hodgman program for free, you can also enjoy the most perfect night of all nights.
The most perfect night of all nights in the year 2022.
It sounds like people in the New York area shouldn't just go to the show. They should get together a big gang of people to go to the show because they'll look like a real hero to all their friends.
They shouldn't go to the show. They should flock to the show. Get a bunch of friends together and come and enjoy the night with us. And if you have disputes, by the way, we need litigants for the show. So another way to enjoy the Judge John Hodgman live show Under the Stars at Lincoln Center for free is on stage. If you have a dispute and you're coming to the show and your fellow disputant will also be there, let us know, won't you? By just going to MaximumFun.org/JJHO. Now, Jesse Thorne, what's that bit.ly again for reserving tickets to the show?
No one can remember. They're just searching for Judge John Hodgman, Lincoln Center.
June 29th, Under the Stars, free of charge.
Can I drop one more plug here, John?
Yeah.
Big show in New York on June 30th.
What's that?
Dan McCoy and I are going to see Company on Broadway. Just want to see Patti LuPone live, you know?
Wow.
Dan McCoy from the Flophouse and I are going to see Company, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Oh, that's very exciting. Broadway.
Don't ring, Company. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. By the way, you're not allowed to get on stage when you're seeing a Broadway show.
I've been rehearsing that number.
I know.
Don't ring, Company.
The rules are still, you can't get on stage. That hasn't changed.
Dan McCoy and I, the podcasters who brunch.
But the Judge John Hodgman show at Lincoln Center, you can get on stage if you have a dispute to bring to us. Please, as I say, once again, Judge John Hodgman, live justice, June 29th at Lincoln Center, free of charge and under the starge.
We'll be back in just a second on the Judge John Hodgman podcast. Please rise as MacArthur Grant winner Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom.
One last thing, Sabina. You say you could eat between 5 and 50 eggs?
I believe so.
Count them for me, please. Backwards from 50 to 5. 50 eggs, 49 eggs, etc. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Even though I trust many podcast listeners would be delighted to hear it. Long ago, in an ancient past, when I was but younger than 39, by a fair margin, I wrote a book called The Areas of My Expertise. And in that book, The Areas of My Expertise, as a gag, as a visual gag in a book, I made up and listed 700 nicknames for the rail-traveling hobos of the early to mid-20th century. And for the audiobook edition, I recorded that list of 700 hobo nicknames. And that was how I received my first MacArthur Grant, because everyone loved it. Quite honestly, I don't think that I would have gone on The Daily Show had I not done that stunt. So I'm here, first and foremost, to defend not just me, Sabina, but you and the art of counting out loud as entertainment. Where would we be without the count on Sesame Street? It's a wonderful gag that everyone enjoys. That's why I am sharing with you, Sabina, this MacArthur Grant. Now, let me count out the money that we both won. $1 for you, $1 for me. $2 for you, $2 for me. Numbers, as we've discussed, are, sorry, Cameron, not real. They are a concept. They are an expression of our animal imaginations. And I say animal because, as far as I know, there may be animals that do count. I bet there probably are. But certainly the most county animal is the human race. And it is an invention. But I can tell you this, from counting 700 hobo nicknames, I can tell you that numbers are definitely real when you're saying them out loud. Then they are a task and a chore. When you are counting a mere 700 hobo nicknames, and these things were not things that I was making up on the spot. I was just reading from a list, as you are talking about doing, Sabina. Reading from a list that the computer is giving you. Just happens to be all numbers instead of some number and then like Hobo Jim Flapjack or whatever. When I read those numbers in sequence, around 500 and 550, in that area, kind of where the mid area where I told you to count, that's for me, it was a little bit later, I started to lose sense of time, place, and my own body. It was an auto-hypnotic experience that was not pleasant and truly was challenging. And the whole thing, that was just emotional and mental toll and a little bit of vocal toll. But after 53 minutes of counting, when I finally got it done, I didn't know where I was. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was a very, very strange event. It wasn't entirely unpleasant because I was making Jonathan Colton play guitar behind me the entire time. So I got to listen to his music and bring him down with me. So when I heard of your quest to speak numbers 1 through 1 million, I did think of that claim that one could eat 50 eggs, but I mostly thought of the physical and emotional toll of actually doing it, how unpleasant that would be. That's hard. It's a hard thing to do. But none of that means that you're incapable of it. Cameron, I don't understand why this is the hill that you want to fight a dog and die on. Because obviously you love and support Sabina in every other way. And all she's asking you to do is to stop saying she can't do it. And you're like, I accept that she can do it, but I want to keep saying that she can't. That's something that I couldn't quite get to the crux of here. And maybe the two of you need to talk it through or do some thinking about why this. I mean, it could be that you're simply afraid that she will try it and then it will be very disruptive and boring in your household for a long time. And I appreciate most of the time your argument about leaving hypotheticals hypothetical, right? That's kind of the fun of them, and they're untestable. And I don't want you to be going around wrestling with dogs, you know. Let the mystery be, as the song goes. That's the mindset you have at the middle of the night in Zingerman's, or whenever it was. Contemplate the mystery and leave it be. But at this point, the mystery now has a personal stake, because you have told your most beloved human you are incapable of this, even if you trick yourself into, even if I sort of say, yeah, probably maybe you could do it. She knows you believe that she can't. This is a mystery that is detrimental to your relationship. And therefore, the mystery must be solved. You must do it, Sabina. You must count to 1 million. But I don't want you to destroy your relationship or your mind or lose your job or whatever. 1 hour a day. And if you take a day off or three, it's fine. Keep a personal journal of counting to 1 million. You know what? I don't care how long it takes you. I don't care how long it takes you, because we need to cure this breach of faith in your relationship. We need Cameron to not merely say, I think you can do it, but say, you got me. You did it. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to accept this ruling, Sabina? Because this is the time to bail out. This is the time to bail. Before I hit this gavel, you got to count into your voice memo or whatever on your phone. And I don't care how long. Honestly, I don't care how long it takes. Like an hour a day for however many days sequentially, or 20 minutes a day and you only do it on Mondays. I don't care. I'll tell you this. My wife could eat 50 eggs. If she ate one egg a day for 50 days, absolutely. But I definitely think if you set your mind to it, within a period of time, you will reach 1 million. You will not give up. And you can do it. So do you feel like doing it, or do you not feel like doing it? Because there's no reason to do it.
What are my chances of getting on The Daily Show if I do it?
Well, it's a different host now. I don't know what their requirements are. I don't think I would go on The Daily Show, as you can probably tell. I don't think I would go on The Daily Show. But I'll tell you what, save those voice memos, send them in to us. We'll play some of them. Get some more MacArthur money. You know what I'm talking about?
I think that I can do it. I think that I'm willing to accept this.
I'm not even sure whose side I'm ruling on at this point, but this is my judgment. Go and do it. This is the sound of a gavel.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Judge John Hodgman rules. That is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Sabina, how do you feel?
I'm very surprised. I was not expecting that ruling, but I am kind of excited to to actually go after this per the judge's orders.
Do you have other priorities in your life?
Not important ones.
Yeah, and I guess not anymore.
Yeah.
Cameron, how are you feeling?
So good. I'm interested to see how Sabina approaches the task now that we know she will do it.
Are you interested in never seeing your partner again?
I'm so uninterested in that.
She's going to spend the rest of her life counting.
There's a lot of dread. A lot of dread on this side.
No, it's not going to interrupt your life. I mean, Sabina, I'm ordering you not to interrupt your life for this. It's a side hustle, purely. And I'm glad you feel good, because honestly, Cameron, the way I took this was, you wanted to order Sabina to put up or shut up. And Sabina, you just wanted Cameron to shut up. And I guess I'm ordering in Cameron's favor in this regard. Prove that you can do it. I bet you can.
Cameron, Sabina, thanks for joining us on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Another Judge John Hodgman case is in the books. In a moment, we'll have swift justice. First, our thanks to Twitter user at LexFry for naming this week's episode Numerical Order in the Court. If you want to name a future episode, follow us on Twitter at Jesse Thorne and at Hodgman. While you're there, you can also hashtag your Judge John Hodgman tweets, hashtag JJHO, or check out the conversation by searching for that hashtag. You can also chat about this episode on the MaxFun subreddit. That's at MaximumFun.reddit.com. Evidence and photos for this episode of our show are on our Instagram account. That's at Instagram.com/JudgeJohnHodgman. If you use Instagram, do follow us. Our producer is Jennifer Marmer. Our editor is Valerie Moffett. Now, swift justice, where we answer your small disputes with quick judgment. Here's something from Jason. My closet's too full. My wife insists I purge some of my clothing, but she has a larger closet, underbed storage, and a dresser. She won't let me have any of her extra room, and I don't want to purge my late 2000s ska band shirts.
Jesse Thorne, I have a question for you before I rule on this guy. At the Put This On shop, and in general, do old t-shirts sell? Vintage t-shirts? Used t-shirts?
I would say that used t-shirts are probably the most popular item
really
in vintage clothes right now.
Because I was going to go with your expertise, because my guess would have been most people consider them to be too intimate and close to the skin to buy used.
I think that the popularity of concert t-shirts that emerged in like the late 90s, early 2000s, that I assumed was going to run out of steam at some point, has only grown in the time since, and it has extended in recent years to primarily shirts from the 90s, I would say,
mm-hmm.
but often ones that in the 90s I would have considered profoundly distasteful.
I understand. Well, speaking of profoundly distasteful, my recommendation to Jason is he sends you all of his 2000 ska band shirts to sell on Put This On. I think that's the perfect solution to the situation.
The people who are about to send me letters aside, I don't know who necessarily has nostalgia for the ska of the late 2000s. That's very deep into the popular decline of ska. I don't have anything against ska music. I think it's a fun kind of music. But maybe the ska nostalgia is more focused on a decade or so earlier.
You're saying you would refuse to sell Jason's ska band shirts on consignment through Put This On?
If Jason had some, maybe some late 80s, early 90s Sade t-shirts, that's where the money is.
All right. Well, then I got to say, Jason, you got to hold on to your shirts. I'm sorry. I know that your wife isn't asking you to pare down your closet. Your wife is asking you to get rid of your ska shirts. And she's using the Marie Kondo excuse to get rid of stuff that she thinks is not good. But if you love those shirts, find room for them. If you can't fit them into your closet, get rid of something else. If you can't sell them on consignment at putthisonshop.com, find a nook in your home. Tear out some insulation between the walls and put your ska shirts in there for later use. Let the next homeowner find them. That's all.
Judge Hodgman?
Yes?
My daughter, Gracie, has a case for you.
I'd love to hear it.
Is a stool a chair?
No, a stool is a poop.
Yes! I like that Grace asked the question, but you answered it for Oscar.
Then for Gracie, I will say, no, I think a chair has a back. A stool does not.
We're eager to hear about all your disputes on any subject. No case too small. So please remember to submit those cases at MaximumFun.org/JJHO. And remember, we're coming to New York City. So if you're in New York City or environs, make sure to submit a case to us and let us know that you're in New York. We're always looking for live litigants for our live shows. But, you know, maybe you'll end up on another show anyway. We'll talk to you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.